This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. All right. Riley Gaines is, of course, one of our all-time favorites. On this day in history, she tied Leah Thomas, which seems to be impossible, in the NCAA finals 3 years ago. And at that time, we didn't know Paula Scanlon, who was a swimmer on the University of Pennsylvania team, who had to endure not only this, but apparently, by a lot of accounts, pressure, at least beyond belief pressure, really, from the University of Pennsylvania at various levels, saying, you don't want to be on this team. That's okay. And also, don't think you're going to work in any kind of field after this. You'll be vilified on the internet if you dare challenge this ridiculous situation that they were so proud of. Well, lo and behold, President Trump, the administration now has frozen $175 million, not chump change even to the UAP, to get them to renounce that they are going to go away from anyhow the Leah Thomas programs. And they are not going to be supportive, either institutionally or on paper, however you want to look at it, of men in women's sports. Pretty simple stuff. You want the $175 million? I hope there's more there they can take away. Paula now also working with New Jersey registration coordinator for early vote action, our buddy Scott Presler, and she's going to be attending. I'm glad to see this because I didn't know that was happening. The New Jersey Leadership Conference, which is big this year, particularly, which happens in, I think it happens Friday and Saturday. And it's held in AC at a casino, but I'm glad to see that they're going to be listening to people that are really successful in registering people and turning them out to vote. So let's go to Paula Scanlon here on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul, it's a great day to have you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
So I don't know if, Paul, they coordinated this to do it today on the day that Riley tied Leah Thomas 3 years ago. Did you ever race against Leah Thomas?
Not directly, but all the time in practice, we were forced to race against him. We would do things, but not in a formal competition like the NCAA championship, where Riley obviously famously tied him.
Yeah, it's got to be difficult after a couple of times, Paula, of racing against someone like that to, you know, the first time, I guess, you think, I'm going to beat this guy. But then after that, it's preposterous. It's not just a male. It's a male that looks, even though he's mediocre, he doesn't have everything that Phelps has. But it reminds me, the body type and the whole thing, it's like you're swimming against Michael Phelps.
Definitely. I mean, that's exactly why this whole situation was so unfair. I mean, I think a lot of people who haven't met Leah Thomas or have only heard the story through words don't realize that this is a fully grown 6'4" tall male. I mean, I tell everyone Leah Thomas was the tallest person on not just the women's team, because of course, but he was the tallest person on the men's team as well. And so this is not some tiny little man that's not very tall, not very built. I mean, he was 6'4" tall, bigger than anyone on the men's team. And the photo of him and Riley on the podium stand, which many people have seen now, really, really emphasizes that. I think Riley is a very strong, impressive swimmer and a great friend of mine. And seeing how much bigger Thomas is towering next to her, I think really paints the picture to why this is so ridiculous and why this should have never been allowed to happen.
What I wanted to ask you, though, as we're going through this, because we were early on it since it happened here in Philadelphia, were there people at Penn even that were helpful, people that said, hey, we don't go along with this, but look, our job's on the line? Were there anybody there? Was the whole thing so cowed, so threatening because of this experiment that it was impossible to have allies there?
I mean, I would say it felt impossible to have allies there.
Yeah.
I felt unsupported by the administration. I felt unsupported by my fellow teammates. I felt unsupported by even my coaching staff. But, you know, years later now, I'm 3 years removed from the situation. I have received messages from people who were at Penn at the time with me that were supportive, but didn't feel like they could tell me that during the season. And, you know, I think especially people who are in positions of power and coaches and administrators and even professors for classes that I took, they felt like they could not share that opinion. And that to me is why it's so sad, but also that's why this is allowed to happen, because if every single person that had the stance that we share had just stepped up and said, no, enough is enough, we would have been able to solve this. But unfortunately, everyone felt fearful for their job, or they thought they were going to get a lower grade in their class or get kicked out from the university, and no one felt empowered to do or say anything about it.
Even feeling that would happen in your classes, did people verbalize that to you, or just reading the room that would happen?
No, absolutely. I mean, I had a course, and I studied engineering, and so many people tell me, they say, oh, well, you probably didn't see a lot of this woke nonsense that, you know,
right,
should now be defunded and hopefully will be worked its way to get rid of under the Trump administration. But I had professors that would take off points from problem sets if you, quote unquote, misgendered the hypothetical people in the problems. I mean,
it's engineering.
Widespread. Yes. In the engineering school, yes, I took this 400-level algorithmic game theory class, and the TA told us that we didn't know the hypothetical genders of the fake names of the people in the problem. I wish I was making this up to you right now. There was Sarah and Bob and Tommy, and we don't know the hypothetical pronouns of those hypothetical people, so we have to refer to them with they-them pronouns, and if you didn't do that, you lost points. I mean, they're not even real people, and you're supposed to not offend the hypothetical people in these math problems? It was completely insane, and that was widespread, and that's just one example. I mean, I could go on and find you one from all 46 courses that I took at the University of Pennsylvania.
Wow. So the last time you were on, and I understand completely, you know, after listening to the interview we did together, this lawsuit that people put up there, I have a sense, and I think you're right, they're kind of Johnny-come-lately. You're the one that stepped out way ahead of this, and even at that point, today it has to feel a little bit safer, but when you stepped out, you had to feel professionally, et cetera, or you know how these mobs are, you might be targeted simply because you finally came out of this and you were the original swim team.
Definitely. I mean, I think part of this is I look now, and it's been 3 years. It's been over 3 years since I did my first anonymous interview. I did it back in 2021, which is wild. I filmed the What is a Woman documentary over 3 years ago now. I mean, it's in a way, I'm like, wow, oh, I wish I had been said this more strongly, or I had done this or had said this. But I really forget how much the climate has really changed in the last couple of years. I mean, this has become normal. We've supported the girls who are speaking out. I mean, I think a lot of people forget the climate we were under back in 2021 and 2022 when this was happening, that it truly was people were actually getting fired from their jobs. I mean, Jen Say lost her job at
yep.
Levi's.
Yep.
And again, we forget about that, I think, because we've made so many strides in this, and we've gotten this accomplished, and I'm on the radio talking to you about this right now, but that was not the case a couple of years ago when we were going through this. And so I'm really thankful for everyone who's really used their voice and gotten this conversation to be mainstream. And now, you know, there's dozens, if not hundreds, of people who are comfortable talking about this, whether it's parents or athletes or coaches. I mean, this is a common conversation, and people are comfortable voicing their opinion because, again, I think we realize how many people agree.
It's going to be very interesting now once we get into the final lap of what you're doing now. We have the judgment in the primaries, or even when people are really paying attention in New Jersey, to see what these Democrats do in this issue. The smarter ones are realizing it's 80-20, 75-25, even in Jersey, on all this stuff, particularly in sports. But what will their party do? Can they skate? Can they make people not know that in the general election? So I'm sure where you're going, the number one issue in Jersey has to be things like affordability and all that. But this issue gets people, even people that don't pay attention, to vote and to take a look at it. They're energized around this.
Definitely. I would say, yes, affordability is the number one issue. Again, I'm on the ground in New Jersey all the time working on this stuff. That is the number one issue. But top five, I would say, of everyone I talk to, they bring up the transgender ideology in schools. They bring up their daughters competing against male athletes. I mean, it is a big concern that voters in New Jersey have. And what I will say is the Democrats, who are the possible contenders for who they might be voting for in November, none of them have said anything about this. And many of them are actually in Congress right now and have voted against young women and girls, and have voted against protecting their sports. And so that's something I hope that we can use, and me especially, in a situation of having gone through this personally and seen it so close. I'm going to be using that to help us win, because absolutely, it's just another thing to point at. But unfortunately, I mean, they've supported so many wild policies that this isn't even the only thing I have that's damaging to them. I mean, the way they voted on the Lake and Riley bill, I mean, there's so many different things that they're doing that everyday common sense voters don't even agree with. And so I'm excited to see the people of New Jersey have an opportunity to elect change this November.
Absolutely. Now, you're speaking at the Leadership Conference, which is held down in Atlantic City. Some of my colleagues here and I, in previous years, did a panel there. What is the...
I'm not speaking.
Okay.
I'll just be there in attendance. Sorry about that.
I thought they were having you spread what I think is inspirational and some of the floor plans.
They should call you up on stage.
They ought to call you up and talk about some of the things that you and Scott Presler are doing that I think is resonating on the ground, I would say, better than any of the political organizations. You guys know what to do.
I would love the opportunity to do so, but we're going to be there just representing the organization, chatting with people, working with the leaders that are already going to be there, and giving them the tools to continue to work alongside us in, again, getting Republicans elected come November in New Jersey. So that's what we're there for. But, of course, always open to talking about our methods and supporting those who want to get involved.
And, Paula, the place to go for people that want to volunteer, because there are going to be a lot of demonstrations of this, Presler, you out there across Jersey constantly, where do they go to be supportive or get more information?
Yes, earlyvoteaction.com. There'll be opportunities for you guys to reach out, volunteer, just seek more information. Even if you're in other states, you can still help out. Obviously, we have a great presence in Pennsylvania as well. We have a lot of staff in Pennsylvania still working to make Pennsylvania redder. And so that is something we're excited for. And again, every single person who supports us, we greatly appreciate you and could not do it without you.
Paula, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us as always.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Paula Scanlon here on a day where Riley Gaines tied Leah Thomas, where the Trump administration may be timing that out. $175 million blocked. I'm glad you'll be at the event, Dan. Just between the lines, you can tell I'm thinking, why would this not be one of the presenters?
She should be.
If Presler can't be there, she should be. I will not be presenting anything either, or will be there.
Yeah.
Read into that yourself.
Well, I mean, just not even any commentary on New Jersey individuals, but just look at what Presler did in Pennsylvania.
Right.
I mean, it was national story as to how he was able to shift the narrative in registering voters. And, you know, I think you can learn a hell of a lot in New Jersey in doing the same, you know?
Yeah, particularly where the iron is ready to be struck here now, too. And look, they're professionals, I hope. I don't see enough. We hope to, at Mulligan's this summer and all, we want to get Jack Cittorelli there. I think he's going to be the nominee. The other guy, the other major candidate against him, who shall be nameless, is not showing up. Two other candidates will be there. I know that Rich is interviewing those candidates, and Harry Hurley, our guy too, is also interviewing Jack Cittorelli. So they're well represented in the primary race there. I think it'll be Cittorelli by all indicators that I can see, and I hope that he adopts this issue that we just talked about, even in Jersey. This is enormous. And affordability, how can the Democrats possibly run on affordability? They wake up every day to make things not affordable, even in Jersey. Come on. And their lead is the radical who runs Newark. He's leading in the Democrat polling at this point. And then they have the radical who runs the NJEA. These are their candidates. My God, if we don't win this one, something's wrong. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You can get in, but right now it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Money gone.
All right, today you're playing for a pair of tickets. We love the Zlock to see jazz guitarist... Yeshoa Stefan on Sunday, March 23rd at the Zlock Performing Arts Center in Bucks County. For tickets and information, visit bucks.edu/tickets. All right, Dan.
Dom, I'm going to reveal something I don't think I've ever revealed on the Dom Giordano program. My first ever crush, my first ever celebrity crush, Dom.
Okay.
We're asking today somebody...
Dr. Ruth.
Somebody who was hot for a while. not a bad suggestion.
Yeah.
No. I clearly like petite women, Dom. You look at my wife. But Dom, talking...
Wait a minute. Maisie's petite?
Yeah, she's tiny.
I would not. But wait a minute. I'm going from the world of Roe, where the being five foot is in dispute whether she is or not. So,
yeah, but Maisie's wearing like a smaller, extra small a lot of times.
It's like a 5'3".
But she doesn't shop petite because petite, like the cut of clothes for petite is usually for shorter women than her.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't see her as petite. She's right in the norm. Yeah.
So, Dom, my first ever celebrity crush, really big in the late 90s, early 2000s, then completely fell off the map until making headlines earlier this year when she performed for Robert F. Kennedy at one of his events, made some news, and then had to apologize to the LGBT community. She had to go back on it. But, Dom, we want to know who this was, my first celebrity crush, really making headlines, big, a Grammy-nominated artist who's really just fallen off over the years. Take a listen.
Comme il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose.
So, Dom, yes, she sang Over the Rainbow for RFK at a Make America Healthy Again event.
Wow.
Yep, and angered the LGBTQ community and apologized, expressing her support. But it has been involved in politics since her career kind of flamed out. Back in 2006, she also marched on Washington with 12 million petition signatures to Capitol Hill and urged Congress to pass the bipartisan Breast Cancer Patient Protection Act of 2005. So, Dom, who is that covering La Vie en Rose?
All right. Excellent choice for today. By the way, after that, Dan, I'll reveal a singer who's dropped off the face of the earth, was once incredibly well known, and now renounces the United States and is a citizen of the UK. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. That's Ireland. We have another one that's left the country now because of Trump. All right. But let's get that first. Let's get a winner. 855-839-1210. Jump on board.
Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right, we've got a great one today for a really good prize. Dan, give us the background and a little bit of the sound.
Yes, Dom, this is my first ever celebrity crush in the late 90s, early 2000s. She fit in perfectly for our side question, which today is somebody who was once huge, making headlines and fell off, four-time Grammy nominee. Really fell off from the radar until this year, popping up after performing at a MAHA event for RFK. She had to apologize to the LGBTQ community, Dom. So here is the clue. Who is this covering the song? Take a listen.
All right, let's go to, Peter and Upper Chichester, where once, Dan, they wanted my complete instructions for my mall that I was building there.
You're building a mall.
A guy sent that we had a prankster, this guy that did stuff like this till we got caught. Can you imagine? Yeah, that's what I'm going to be in the mall business. Put the radio thing on the top roof there.
Yeah, you and Simon.
Yeah, let's go to Peter in Upper Chichester, not lower, upper. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Dom and Dan. I used to love this song, and she certainly fell off the map, and that's Jewel.
That is a great one.
Wow.
Yes. Wonderfully played. I'll put you
on hold, Peter.
Absolutely. Any more detail on that, Dan?
Tough life she grew up, Dom. Troubled childhood. She was a yodeler with her father at first. Mother apparently embezzled $100 million from her, which might have been significant in why she disappeared for a while.
Yeah, I would smile.
Late 90s, early 2000s, Jewel was all over the place. Four-time Grammy nominee. Beautiful voice. Popped up on The Masked Singer. I think she might have actually won it a couple years ago. And then, as I said earlier in January, at a rally for RFK and Cheryl Hines, she performed Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which very much annoyed the LGBT community to the point that she was forced to apologize.
Now, here's another prominent singer, prominent in her own right, and then prominent in her husband who committed suicide. Singer Courtney Love has filed for citizenship in the UK because President Trump is so frightening now. She is in the UK right now, been there for a while. And because of Trump, it's like Emperor Corps, like They're wearing million-dollar watches. Emperor Corps is going on. It's frightening. It's like cyanide now. All right, so we're losing Courtney Love. We've already lost Rosie O'Donnell to Ireland. This time around, we are seeing some celebrities. I don't know who truly left in the first time. But the person that a lot of people might, I was saving it until now. This will be Cut 9 YouTube alert, youtube.com/1210WPHT. Look, Alec Baldwin is reprehensible beyond belief. But I would say his wife is worse. The phony accent, the annoyance. But again, you are who you marry. I mean, he chose her. Here is Hilaria at some of it. They have a new show.
Sure, it's terrible. It's called The Baldwins. Me and Maisie Baldwins watched an episode. We forced ourselves. And the entire episode, Maisie turns to me pretty early. Right. She goes, I don't think Alec knows the name of his youngest baby. Throughout the entire episode, just referred to it as baby, not by the name, over and over again. So I don't think he knows his child's name, to be quite honest.
And I think the idea is to be chaotic. Like, that's a thing. It makes it fresh or whatever.
So reading the celeb dirt sheets, I think Hilaria's been pushing for a reality show for a while. And it's only now that Alec has agreed to it. And I wonder if it's because he might need some money there, Dom.
Yeah, and this is public now. It's in front of media at one of these events with the backdrop, their signage behind them. And she's asked the question first, and I think he tries to add something here, and she's not having any of it. Here's how it sounded.
The Hilaria Show.
No. I think we're going to see, you know? We're going to see how it feels to have it be out there.
It's going to be great. You're a winner.
Oh, my God. When I'm talking, you're not talking.
Sorry.
No, when I'm talking, you're not talking.
Wow.
This is why, yes, we'll have to, like, just cut him out of the show. No.
Oh, my.
I mean, I think this is a really...
And Alec's taking that seriously, too. It's face. Like, he's angry.
Very real.
We should.
We took a lot of chances. And, you know, I think that we'll see where it leads us. We'll see what it feels like to have be out there. And then we'll see, you know,
To the point that noise you hear in the background, that's Alec walking away from the interview, starting other interviews, because he was so disrespected that he felt he didn't care anymore. Wow.
Yeah, well, maybe we're misogynist. Maybe we're sexist. Can a woman assert herself? When I'm talking, you're not talking. Just the voice, the whole thing. My God, what a choice. This is a Hobson's choice. You got Alec Baldwin, and over here you have this fake woman.
And the shocking thing is, there's no accent.
Right, that's right,
I think they're both in the wrong on this one. Like, let her answer the question, but like she has to have a better response than, like, I'm talking.
Well, she has that little phrase that she's going to use. When I'm talking, you're not talking.
Like,
that's unusual.
Can't do that.
Who in the world would say, this is the woman I want to marry? She's a troublesome.
Remember she forgot the word for onions when she was on?
What are those things called?
Yeah, I think I have that audio.
Is it seven kids of one sort or another, including baby, we don't know the name, and dogs and other mirage? That's the joy of this. I would say I like to have people watch a half hour of each. I still think Meghan Markle is more insufferable. I can't stand more. She just truly is.
I haven't watched that one.
I've watched a little bit of it. It is so...
It's fake, right?
Yeah, it's fake.
Yeah.
This woman is not fake as much as obnoxious.
Yeah.
Well, then there's the accent.
She's a wannabe.
There's the accent, too.
Yeah, here's
We have very few ingredients. We have tomatoes. We have... How do you say
anything?
Cucumbers.
Cucumbers.
We have red pepper.
How do you say cucumbers? Oh, man.
All right.
This is why, we'll have to, like, just cut him out of the show.
All right.
No.
Oh, man.
When I'm talking, you're not talking. All right. Coming up, I want to go into this in detail. RFK Jr.'s legacy is going to be unbelievable if he gets through half the things that are in the air. One of them I'm fine with, but I want to tell you it's being pushed now today. This is the agenda. And that is America's students are not doing well in school because they're sleep deprived. In other words, he's got a guy who's a big expert in this. This is his issue. And he wants to start schools, as I understand it, much later. All right. You know what? If it's some minimal advantage, I might have to concede that.
That makes so much sense.
But is that why America's kids are dropping school? No, it's not. It's a ridiculous thing. It's a pablum.
Ooh.
Not only that, who in the world is going to be getting said kids to schools if they have to start later? I'd love to hear from parents.
I think it's the opposite.
You think it's the opposite?
Yeah.
No, parents want to get them there earlier because they have to go to work.
I think it makes more sense for parents.
You think so?
Yeah, right, well, what time are we moving it back to?
Well, it varies. They haven't put, you know, they haven't
Some kids are starting at 8 o'clock, which is incredibly inconvenient for parents. They don't have to be to work till 9.
Oh, I think parents want the earlier thing. They can drop the kid off and then be on their way.
But the thing is, though, on the other side of it, what happens, and this is where my argument would lie, is at the end of the school day, you're getting kids out at 3, 2:30 with the early release.
Right.
And then parents are most of the time not home, so these kids can do whatever the heck they want, and that's where this trouble comes from. So if you start it later,
I think you got the
schools housing them.
Right. The morning is more of the issue. Got to know, Laurie Abringos, she knows this, Lunch Lady Laurie, among other things. It's just a phony thing to say this is going to make all the difference. I'm not buying that. America's kids are failing because they don't want to do the work, and parents can't figure out a way to motivate them to keep them working up to speed. But is it really something as simple as moving around starting and closing times? 855-839-1210. And also get in right now. Who is somebody who's dropped off the face of the earth? Somebody that Joe of Exton has, and Joe of Exton all-time answer today. Oh, my God. I'm not sure if the guy's still alive or not. That might be an indicator that he's fallen off the face of the earth.
I think he's long gone.
Man. Yeah, 855-839-1210. We'll let it go, though. It's a good one.
Yeah, 87, Dom. 87.
He's alive.
No. He was gone.
Oh,
he's been
gone
since 87.
Since 87.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, I thought so.
38 years.
Yeah, okay. All right. But it's a great answer. Let Joe go with it. That's my Sicily music. As you know by now, Ro and I want to go with you to Sicily. We've been to Italy twice with listeners. Enormous numbers because they know conservative tours. Both times it was with conservative tours. They know everything is taken care of and it's spectacular. Sicily is because it is the crossroads of everything. You may have seen White Lotus. You may have heard people talking. You may have seen, I with Giuseppe yesterday, we were talking about World War II. Patton racing Montgomery to get to Palermo, which is the big place there. It's beautiful, the sun, the sea, the unparalleled beauty of Mediterranean Europe in Sicily, and also Calabria this fall. We're headed to Europe again with conservative tours. That's the only people we would go with. 5544, all that, and you get airfare included, and feast. That's what these dinners are. They are truly feasts, well-planned, all the great spots. You'll feel like a native. Bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Monreal, the Palace of the Normans. Give them a call. You at least have to see all that's offered. Call 888-733-9494 or go to conservativetours.com. The thing I'm really looking forward to, too, the Godfather Tour. All the locales in Sicily from the three Godfather movies. This is Sicily. The Grand Duel of Sicily will
hit them all now while we got the muscle.
That's right, Frankie. No. I want you to wait. I want to Simon Roth to know that he's got a partner in me.
You can act like a man.
Godfather 1. I don't think we have any cuts of Godfather 3. Thank God. No, but just when I got out, they pulled me back in, yeah. And wet your beak. We'll do that in Taormina, and I'll see
you. Oh, won't see him no more.
That's Godfather 1. On Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Sicily. Ancient, charming, picturesque. A country within a country. I'll see you in Savoca. That's another great spot. Call 888-733-9494. Do it now. All right, it is Dom time here. By the way, Dave Sunday, who was spectacular yesterday, the new attorney general. I wish he would run for governor, but I know, you know, it's, my feet getting wet, attorney general, then I turn around and run against Shapiro. He has joined 26 or 25 other attorneys general filing a brief in support of President Trump's deportation of gang members. All right, so he's on the legal side of thing and the right side of thing. And what he said yesterday about Medicaid fraud was really revealing. He's leading in the nation at investigating, prosecuting, and getting convictions on Medicaid fraud. That's big stuff. And this is going to come up nationally. All right. So people on Twitter, not enamored with this idea Carrie Marie makes a point that what about the students who have jobs or sports teams? The later you make school get out, the more you're depriving them. Let's go to Margo in Bucks County, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Margo, good afternoon.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead, Margo. Yes, you're on. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I disagree with all of this. I do not think kids are sleep deprived because they have an early wake up time. I would say I know for a fact that kids are sleep deprived because they are up all night on their phones. They're playing video games. They have TVs in their room. If you want to solve this problem, give them a flashlight and a book and structure your day so that kids are getting to bed at a good time. My children do. My daughter attended a school. We were warned, oh, my gosh, she's going to have so much homework. She's going to be up all night. And I thought, oh, geez. Well, no, she comes home. She does her homework, or she'll get it done at school. My kid is not like a mental giant, like genius. She's, you know, good student, but no. She's not allowed to.
All right, Margo, what time does she have to get to school?
She has to be to school a little bit before 8, so we are heading for the bus at 7:15.
Yeah, well, that's...
My son is in high school, though. I have a high schooler, so he's up at the crack of dawn. And again, he gets to sleep at a decent time because that's how we structure our lives. And I think everything is someone else's fault, but until you take away the phones in the room, take away the TVs, take away the video games, and then come back and tell me that the kids are sleep deprived because they have to wake up early, I don't believe it.
Thank you, Margo. Yeah, well, this is where I think RFK, he's got these advisors, this will be an initiative around this. And again, if it makes it more convenient for parents, that's one consideration. But to Margo's point, I'm not convinced these kids can't do work in school because it's too early. It's all those things. By the way, watching, and we might get her on at some point there. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal had a great op-ed by this former athlete, played in America, I think is a citizen now. Playing in Division II, and she wants her records back. She had to go against a guy who was only ranked the 390th or 400th runner in Division II, a guy, but soundly beat her when he said he identifies as a female. And this is what female athletes have to say, too, and I would advise the Trump administration and others to do this. These female athletes want their records back. Leah Thomas ought to be stripped of every record imaginable. Every single one of these people, that is what I would be pushing for. And politically, America is going to stand up and cheer. Hold rallies in which you say, that's not your record. It's this female who came in second. We're not having this. We're going back. Well, I'd like to go back and take away Barry Bonds' every record while I was at it. There are several that I would take away. Mr. Pumpkinhead. How in the world do we live in a country where Hank Aaron has to, now sadly deceased, sit there and Barry Bonds has the record? That's just not right. Oh, come on now. Don't you have better things to do? Okay, well, then you tell me how that's right, and then I'll shut up about it. It's the same thing here. Greg in Chalfont, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Greg, afternoon.
Yeah. Hey, good afternoon. I, you know, when my children were young, they had bedtimes.
Right.
The oldest went to bed the latest, which was 9 o'clock, and then the other three went to bed shortly thereafter, depending on age. But they had firm bedtimes. My daughter now has my grandchildren who are, you know, 4 and 1, and they make up their own hours. They don't put them to bed. They have no control over them. I think it's insane. And I just think it's the parents, not the kids.
Well, do you think it would be helpful to parents, though? That's the only consideration I have, at least in the morning, if it would be later. I'm in a camp that says probably not if they have to take them to school. No?
No, absolutely not, because then they're just going to take more advantage of that. And I think the previous caller made a point that if they're on their phones, they have a TV, it needs to go off or they need to take them.
Well, look, I'm in agreement with that. Thank you, Greg. What I'm saying is the delivery, I'm not sure how many parents listening
would have to deliver the kid to school. Would it be better to do that than you go off to work if it were later? But then later in the afternoon gets in the way of a lot of stuff. Watch for this. You're going to hear this, and I hope RFK Jr. has saner voices tell him that's not the problem. It's a scam to say this is why America's kids can't learn in school. It's not about that. You know, what's the evidence of this? Well, they will not be sleep deprived. Even that is debatable. You know, I don't know about going to bed at 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock would seem easily. Oh, you know, they need more sleep. Okay, all right, take a nap when you come home. Whatever. I think a reasonable time would strike me as 10 o'clock, particularly if you have to get up at 6.
To start?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
10 o'clock?
I think that's ludicrous.
What, too late?
Way too late. If my start time was at 10 o'clock every day, I'd be staying up till 2 a.m. every night still. Like, it wouldn't change anything. I'd be like, oh, I don't have to get up. I don't have to do anything. And part of the sleep schedule...
Oh, no, and then 10 o'clock to go to sleep, not school time.
No,
I think a reasonable time is around 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
give or take.
I mean, part
of the problem is...
Too early.
These school districts are spread out so much with busing and all that, it takes forever to get to school. That creates some
It should be 9 o'clock.
I had to take two buses in high school.
You had to take two buses?
I had to take, because I went to Catholic school, so I had to take it to the public school, and then I had to take one to
a two-bus route. Wow, yeah. That's tough.
So
yeah.
Let me sit you down on the couch there, Henry, as a child, you know, private school, having to go every morning to the public school. Were you sitting on the outside of the public school wishing you were inside?
Well, we sat on the inside during the winter, but yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
All right.
That's sad.
Want to go to the public school.
Yearning to be in the public school.
Oh,
this is coming from a public school guy talking to two private school guys. Huh?
Yeah, well, I wasn't yearning. The public schools were horrible. I couldn't even imagine.
Does yours have a natatorium, Dom?
I went to Newman. I'm trying to think of the local public school. You know what Southern had? Right in front of the door for years? The chalk lines are where someone was shot, the body there. You think after one day... I think there's pictures. You can find it. We think after one day they might clean it up after
the
police
hose.
Say it's okay. Get the hose out. Yeah. I was there, and one kid, they had food riots. One kid tried to drown another in a vat of mashed potatoes. Food riots.
Like
where
did you go to school? Like not just food fights.
No, student teaching.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, we're not talking like normal fights, food fights. We're talking like food riots.
Yeah, throwing. Yeah, and one kid's got the head down in the vat of mashed potatoes.
Oh, my God.
You see that? Nothing's going to bother you.
What's the oddest thing you've gotten thrown at you, Dom?
A desk.
Well, I was talking food riots.
No, I don't remember that. But in a classroom, a kid threw a desk at me.
Really?
It was all out war. Yeah, that was it.
You ever get a shoe thrown at you?
No, I don't remember a shoe.
No?
One kid stood across the street. With black gloves on and a little bat tapping it, looking at me when I was coming out.
Oh, that wasn't the listener Bugle Boy?
No. The Bugle Boy has been in this field now. God knows where the...
recurring
we haven't heard from the Bugle Boy. Don't get him started again. There'll be big trouble.
Yeah, someone that fell off the map. There you go.
There you go. The Bugle Boy. All right. It's a big lightning round. Hit us with that person that's fallen off the map. That's next at 855-839-1210. Looking for a natural way to boost energy, support your heart, stay active as you age. It's time to try Rescue Orasine. This unique supplement gives your body the essentials it needs to fight fatigue, improve stamina, without relying on sugar, caffeine, or artificial boosters. Plus, it supports healthy blood pressure, overall cardiovascular function, helping you feel the best every day. Right now, Dom listeners, you can take advantage of a special buy one, get one free offer on Rescue Orasine. Just use the code MYENERGY when you order. Call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. You'll speak with a knowledgeable product consultant or just visit res-q.com. Enter the code MYENERGY at checkout. So don't miss this exclusive deal. It will not last long. It's simple. Go to res-q.com. Use the code MYENERGY, MYENERGY. Grab Rescue Orasine with the buy one, get one free savings. Stay energized, stay heart healthy with Rescue Natural Supplements. All right, hit us with your all-time favorite. They have dropped off the face of the earth or something like that. Somebody really famous and now not so much you don't see them. Let's go to the Earl of Tacony here on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Earl. Who do you have?
Well, out for a second there. I thought I was going to nominate myself. I thought I dropped off the face of the earth for a while there. But my answer is, back in the 60s, there used to be the gods of rock and roll. Everybody wanted to work with them. Everybody knew them. They were on all the magazine covers. They were on all the TV shows. And my rock and roll god would be Eric Burdon. He was with the Animals, House of the Rising Sun, Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. When he was out in San Francisco, he teamed up with War and did Spill the Wine. Eric Burdon Goes to War. Started his own solo career, and then he just kind of faded away. For years, I thought he was dead until I looked it up on Wikipedia. He's still alive, and up until 2013,
really?
He was still performing. But he just, you know, he's still around, but he, you know, people stopped paying attention to him.
That's a very good one, Dan. I think this is a potentially a good one. There's reasons why, maybe, but this is he's in the bullpen there at the Vatican. They're going to tag him in. Carol in Somerton. Carol, who's yours?
Pope Benedict the 16th. He resigned.
Yes.
And nobody heard from him after that, or hardly heard from him.
Yeah, and I think he's in the bullpen there with the current pope and all.
Well,
God knows.
He's no longer with us.
He died?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he died.
I didn't know that. Yeah? When did he
die?
He died
in 22, yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. I did not know that. I thought this guy was still hanging around. All right, Joe and Exton. Joe, who do you have today?
Yes. Hello, Dom, and good afternoon.
Yes.
My person who luxuriated in public acclaim and then who gradually diminished into obscurity is the pianist Liberace.
We really need to consult with Joe when we come up with these questions.
Yeah.
His level of vocabulary, whatever the phrase he just used to describe right. our side question, much better than we could ever do.
Yeah. But
the answer, not so much, though, Joe.
Yeah, I know. He's not alive now. I thought we were pretty clear. I get it that in the past he was famous and then not. Okay.
Yeah.
Mark in Huntington, Virginia, or West Huntington. Okay. Mark, who's yours?
Huntington Valley.
Hello?
Huntington Valley. Okay. Okay. My fault. Okay. Mark, who's yours?
Yes, I have the left arm of God, Sandy Koufax of the Brooklyn and L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah, arguably the greatest. You couldn't hit him. Left-hand pitcher ever. That's a dispute. But
89 years old.
89. Yes, Sandy Koufax. All right. I think we have to come up with a winner here. These were all worthy. We'll start with you today, Dan. Let's go that way and see what you say.
A guy that's fallen off so far right. that we don't even use the nickname we once used to call him. Robert Mansellem's answer of Don Lemon.
Right.
No longer Don Lemon.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, he's not on, but he was on with Bill Maher recently. What do you say, Henry?
I like the answer Earl gave of Earl Burdon or right. Eric Burdon. Someone who toured with all these famous bands and then
right.
suddenly out of nowhere. And then Carolyn Somerton's answer of Pope Benedict the 16th. I mean, what kind of a pope resigns?
Right, except he's not alive.
He's
now.
Not alive, but yeah. still at the same time, he's faded into irrelevancy.
I could see Earl of Tacones today. I thought that was a real good example of somebody that's fallen away. All right, we'll do it all again tomorrow with the side question. Don't forget, Friday is going to be spectacular. The Mannion Foundation, all the big guests. Amazing what the lineup we have. Until then, follow on Twitter at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. Rich is next on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.